Amen and amen. Thank you, buddy. If you want to turn in your Bibles to a very familiar passage, Psalm 23. Let me just say this morning, I just feel burdened to remind us, for those who feel unworthy, that with a new year, we need to be reminded that we have a new name. And we have a new heart because of a new covenant by a Savior who is alive and well today. So if there's someone in here, someone listening on the radio, someone watching online that finds themselves at the end of this year unworthy, finds themselves in the pit of despair, in the valley of the shadow of death, may we be reminded that you are redeemed. Nothing you could earn on your own, nothing we could do ourselves, but because of Jesus our Savior and all that He has already done on our behalf, we are redeemed. And the church said, amen. Amen. So this morning I want to talk about shepherding. One of my favorite analogies, one of my favorite names for Jesus and for God that we find in the Bible. But I want to make it personal because I believe God is calling every one of us to be shepherds, not just sheep. And so the challenge today is, who are we going to shepherd and what flock has God called us to in 2020, in the new year? This is the last Sunday, last opportunity, and I'm thankful that Pastor Chris gave me this opportunity, or maybe I should say Andrea, who made the children's church schedule, to give me this opportunity to bring our final message of 2019 to you today. So I don't know how much you've experienced sheep or how much time you spend around sheep. Let me show you a picture. This picture was taken back in... I think I'm going to show you a picture. And there it is. So this picture was taken back in May of 2018. Now, this is, before I show you a little video of what happened after this picture was taken, let me just kind of set this up for you. A lot of you have heard of the Cahill Kids Club. You've heard the ministry that we have going on thanks to the leadership of John and Tracy Penny and many other volunteers who make it happen. Sometimes the Cahill Kids Club gets to make little field trips. And we usually try to relate those field trips to Scripture and to the Lord. And so we went to see sheep. And we went to a local pasture, and of course most of these kids had never seen sheep before, and they were very excited. As a matter of fact, I want to show you a video of what happens when they tried to get close to the sheep.
Quit running!
This is narrated by John Penny.
Quit running!
Can you hear them?
Help! Help us! Please!
No.
Sebastian, quit running.
Sebastian, don't touch me.
So, of course, these kids are excited about the sheep. Thank you, John, for narrating that for us. That's about how I sound at home. Would you stop running? Anyway, so these kids who have never experienced sheep or been around sheep, of course, wanted to get close to them, wanted to see them, wanted to touch them. So what do sheep do when you try to get close to them if they're not familiar with you? They do exactly that. They run from you. But who is the person they usually do not run from but run to because they recognize his voice? What's he called?
Shepherd.
The shepherd. So let's talk for just a minute about this idea of shepherding the flock, because I love the analogy. I love the visual illustration. Listen to John 10:3 real quick. It says, the sheep recognize his voice, and they come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So welcome to the final message of 2019 here at Albertville First Baptist Church. And welcome, I hope, to an introduction to what God has in store in 2020, this new decade in your life and in your ministry personally. So we spent some time on Wednesday nights these last few months looking at different names of God. And I've loved understanding the context of so many different names of God that we see throughout the scripture. But the shepherd, the good shepherd, is probably one of my favorite names of God. And I found a great resource that I'd love to recommend to you if you can see it. It's called The Illustrated Guide to God by George W. Knight. And this is an A to Z encyclopedia of the names of God, the attributes of God, God's roles in the world. And I love this resource. So recently, as I studied this resource, I just want to read something to you from it. He says this, David, who wrote this psalm, remember we're talking about Psalm 23 here in just a moment. David, who wrote this psalm in the latter years as he reflected on the Lord and what he had been led through in his life, like a shepherd who leads his sheep to green pastures and peaceful streams for water and food, the Lord has supplied David's needs. From his humble beginnings as a shepherd boy to the throne of Israel, God has walked with David and blessed him more than he deserved. You see, David was confident that he would continue to sustain him, even as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, as verse 4 tells us. And like David, all of us need a divine shepherd who will guide us throughout this life and beyond. So I just want to look at the very first verse of Psalm 23. It's a short passage, but here's my prayer this morning. You wouldn't just hear these words read, you wouldn't just read them on the screen yourself, but you would actually make this your prayer today. Psalm 23, verse 1 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." Can you let that soak in? Can we read it together? We don't read scripture together very often. Let's try that since it's short. Together, church. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Psalm 23:1. If you're a VBSer, you know to read the address right after you read it. But I want you to think for just a moment. If you're taking notes, I'd love for you to grab the handout that I've provided in your worship guide this morning. But let's talk about the shepherd and his sheep for just a moment. Because there are two things that happen between a relationship with a shepherd and a sheep that you and I can apply to our relationship with our great shepherd as his sheep. And the first thing we need to understand and make sure that we're doing, that we are knowing his voice, that we know the shepherd's voice. God was the shepherd all throughout the Old Testament. It was a familiar illustration as David wrote this psalm, and we see many other references to it. Let me give you some examples. You don't have to turn here for time's sake, but Psalm 78, verse 52 says this, "But he brought his people out like a flock. He led them like sheep through the wilderness." Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord is God, that he who made us, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Isaiah 40 verse 11 says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd who gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." And then fast forward to when Jesus steps on the scene in the New Testament, which we just celebrated at Christmas time. When Jesus steps on the scene and grows up, he makes this illustration personal, this statement personal. John chapter 10, we're going to spend some time there if you want to turn with me to John chapter 10. Verse 11, Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." My prayer is that we need to think about this. This dynamic between us and the shepherd, us as his sheep, and he is a good shepherd, the great shepherd who is leading us, who is guiding us, who sometimes has to discipline us, but always has our best interests at heart. I love this idea. See, Jesus compares his followers to sheep and identifies himself here in John 10 as the shepherd who leads the flock. Sheep, I hate to admit this because this is how we're described, but sheep are helpless animals. Not only can sheep not defend themselves because they have no natural defenses against predators, but they wander from the flock all the time. Anybody ever felt like that? They wander. They need to be led literally to their source of food and water. They must be constantly watched. And they need a vigilant leader. A shepherd who is willing to provide all that they need, all their resources, things they cannot do on their own. Jesus is more than just another shepherd. Jesus changes the dynamic between sheep and shepherds here when he says he is the good shepherd. He has a personal interest in his sheep. So if you have your Bible, I want to take a closer look for just a moment at John 10 with you. Just follow me through John 10. I'm going to begin in verse 3. As we understand this idea of Jesus, our good shepherd, feel free to take some notes because this is not just about knowing his voice. My prayer is that you and I just don't hear from God just don't know of God, but that we know God personally, that we walk with God, that we would be following His voice. And John 10 gives us a beautiful description of what it looks like to follow our shepherd. First thing you need to know is this. He knows His sheep personally, and He calls them by name. We just sang some songs all about God knowing our name and knowing our story and our heart and who we are personally, and He's given us a new name. We're not the same. He knows us personally. John 10:3 says it like this. They won't follow a stranger. Nope, that's the wrong verse. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize His voice, and they come to Him. He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. I love the illustration here. Second thing we need to know about this shepherd is that He doesn't drive His sheep. He guides them by showing the way. Look at the very next verse in John 10. Verse 4 says this. After He gathered His own flock, He walks ahead of them and they follow Him because they know His voice. Talk about an example to follow. I'm thankful that we don't serve a God who gives us a Bible with a bunch of do's and don'ts and says, here you go, have fun, hope you make it. But He lives it out for us. He empowers us with His Spirit. He doesn't just give us instruction. He helps us to live His instructions by following His example. Third thing we need to understand is that He is the door of the sheepfold, and He offers shelter and security, safety for His sheep. I don't know how much you've ever seen a shepherd interact with a sheep. I don't have a shepherd's crook today, but we'll just use this as an example. But from what I understand, are there any shepherds in here? Because you could probably come up here and just talk to me about this. You want to preach for? You're not going to raise your hand now. No, not anymore. But from what I understand, when you gather a bunch of sheep back in these times, you find a place that there is no way for them to escape at night and no way for predators to attack them at night. So let's just say that we're in the crook of the side of a mountain or a cave here. And so the front of this stage right here is the entrance. The shepherd will literally use his body as the door to the sheepfold, to the pen that holds the sheep. And he will lay down at night not only to protect the sheep, but to keep the sheep safe and secure in the pen. And he's watching out for predators, defending his sheep. But he's also helping those sheep who think they know better and want to escape on their own or head somewhere else, looking for greener pastures, so to speak. He keeps them from doing that. See, the personal interest between a shepherd and a sheep, it's so much more than some guy who puts sheep into a pen and leaves them alone. This illustration is a shepherd who lays his life literally on the line. Let me read John 10:9 for you real quick. John 10:9 says it like this. Yes, I am the gate, Jesus says. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. And then last but not least, unlike hired shepherds, he is willing to put his life on the line. Let me read the rest of this section in John 10, 13 through 15 says this. The hired hands run away because he's working only for the money and he doesn't really care about the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me just as my Father knows me and I know my Father. So I will sacrifice my life for the sheep. Then Jesus says, I have other sheep too. They're not in this sheepfold, but I will bring them also and they will listen to my voice and we will be one flock with one shepherd. Talk about a personal Savior. Talk about a personal shepherd. By the way, some of the other names of God related to this idea. Names for Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we see chief shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 7, we see he's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the door of the sheep. The great shepherd of the sheep, we find that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. 1 Peter 2, 25 calls Jesus the shepherd of your souls. He is a personal shepherd who loves his sheep. We have a personal Savior who loves His people. But as I bring it home and we end this year, I want to kind of make it more personal for us this morning. And I want to talk about the shepherd and his shepherds. What? Just follow me here for a moment. Here's the question. Why the shepherds? Why? Why the shepherds? See, Jesus being the good shepherd, this makes sense to me. Us being the sheep, sometimes, pardon the verbiage here, but sometimes dumb and wayward. See, that makes sense to me. Jesus knowing his sheep personally, that makes sense to me. Us knowing the shepherd's voice and following that shepherd, this makes sense to me. But there is one thing about this illustration that does not make sense to me. Watch me now. Why in the world would Jesus reveal himself first to the shepherds? Think for a moment. We just celebrated Christmas. Just a few days ago, we celebrated Christmas. We read the familiar story on Christmas Eve together and the Sunday before Christmas when I had that really amazing Christmas outfit on. I know you're jealous I didn't wear it today, but that's a whole nother sermon. I'll work on a New Year's outfit. Just wait. But think for just a moment. The angel spoke to the shepherds. After Mary and Joseph, the shepherds were the first to find out about God coming into this world, his birth. The lowliest of hired hands, these dirty, ordinary guys, the first to know. Why? Why in the world? I want us to look back for just a moment at the Christmas story. And I want us to put ourselves in the sandals of the shepherds. Watch this.
I can't believe this is happening. Oh, I got to get a grip. I got to tell people. That's what I got to do. I got to go tell people. I got to share the news. I got to let them know that, who's going to listen to me, huh? Who's going to listen to me? I mean, it's not like I have any kind of reputation. People don't give me two looks. And I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one to talk about angel sighting and Messiah's coming. Okay. Okay, okay, okay. No, I just got to put my manners on. That's it. I put my manners on. I got to talk right. That's it. And then I got to clean up. I can do that. I can clean out under my fingernails. There's no hiding this man. It just don't make sense. None of it makes sense. He said, good news. Good news of great joy for everyone. Because the Savior was born today in Bethlehem. He said we'd recognize him by a very specific sign. He said that baby would be wrapped in cloths and lying in a... And this was the kicker. That baby would be lying in a manger. A Messiah in a feeding trough. Oh. I mean, even my family was better off than that. We didn't have two sticks to rub together, but at least I had a bed to lay my head in when I was a kid. I've been waiting my whole life for this Messiah. And now it seems he may be more like me than I ever thought possible. Well, I think that angel got it wrong. This ain't good news. This is the best news ever. Come on, boys.
Why? Because he came for everyone. Even you. I want you to listen with fresh ears one more time to a very familiar Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Listen to the characters the Lord chose to reveal himself to. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. Verse 18 says, "And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished." Just like the shepherds that night, we too have a job. Yes, us ordinary, average, sometimes feeling unworthy, dirty individuals have a job to tell others about this good news. The best news ever, as a matter of fact. Speaking of ordinary, and I told you the Lord laid this on my heart. I read a devotion this morning. Right now I'm reading "Jesus, Our Perfect Hope" by Charles Stanley. Can I just read you for a moment what God spoke to me about this morning? The devotion was called "From Ordinary to Glorious," based on Isaiah 43:7, which says, "I have made them for my glory," God says. Listen to this, church. The greatest platform God has ever used to bless the world and accomplish his purposes was an ordinary tree. After it was cut down, it could have been fashioned into anything, a chair, a table, even furnishings for the temple, but it wasn't. Instead, it was formed into a cross. Of course, trees can't share their thoughts, but if it could, that tree may have expressed some concerns. That is, it may have doubted the Lord's purpose until it saw his ultimate plan fulfilled, that he would provide for the salvation of the world upon its wooden frame. But understand, God is fulfilling his purpose with you as well. And it's why you shouldn't second guess how he's leading you. The way he will ultimately work through you has yet to be revealed. But if you'll obey him step by step, you'll experience firsthand how he uses the ordinary to accomplish his divine and glorious purposes. So don't fight God. Rather, have faith in him. And like so many others who have trusted him throughout history, you'll be able to say, "God, I didn't realize what you wanted to do, but I thank you that it was far better than I ever could have imagined." My hope is in Jesus, because he makes life worthwhile for the seemingly ordinary, for us. We are called, like the shepherds were, to share his good news, to love others, to be his good news. So my prayer and my question for us today as we end this year and look forward to a new year is, who are we shepherding? Because not only is he the shepherd to us, his sheep, but we are called to be shepherds to other sheep around us, to the flocks he's calling us to. You may not see yourself as a leader. You may not think that the good shepherd could use even you. But if we believe he lives inside of us, then yes, he can use us, and he's calling us to shepherd others. So who are the sheep around you? Who are those lost and those wandering, those hungry and those lonely, and those who need to be led to and led by this good shepherd? I want to challenge you on your handout. There's some blanks. I want to challenge you to think for just a moment of three people who are around you, your sphere of influence, people who live in your home, people who eat at the same place you eat, people you see at work or at school as we start back in a couple weeks. People that you are around on a regular basis who need to be led back to Jesus. And I want to challenge you. You're not turning this in for a grade. This is between you and God. But I want to challenge you to write those people's names down. As you write each person's name, my prayer is that you would see yourself as a shepherd in their life and that you would pray a prayer simply to God, Lord, use me in this person's life. Give me the words. Give me the direction. Give me the inspiration to shepherd these sheep. Now, I want you to think one more time about this shepherd staff. You think about the dynamic of our relationship with God and maybe that dynamic of you shepherding other people. Sometimes that means you need to guide them in the right direction. Sometimes that means you need to help rescue them from despair or from danger. Sometimes that means you need to discipline them lovingly, but the correction is meant to be a help and not a hindrance. Whatever that relationship looks like, as you write those names down, my prayer is in this next year that God would use you to shepherd those individuals back to the Good Shepherd, to lead them. Let me read one last story to you. I love D.L. Moody, and he said this once. He told a story of Dr. Andrew Benar. He says, Dr. Andrew Benar told me of how in the highlands of Scotland, a sheep would often wander off into the rocks and get into places that he couldn't get out of. The grass on those mountains was very sweet and sheep like it. And they would often jump sometimes 10 to 12 feet down to where they couldn't jump back out again until all the grass had been eaten. Of course, the shepherd hears the sheep bleeding in distress. And sometimes it would be days, but the shepherd would strategically wait until they were so faint that they could not stand. Then he would put a rope around himself, lower himself down, put the sheep on his shoulders, and rescue him out of the jaws of death. Why don't you go down when the sheep first gets down there? I asked. Ah, he said. This was because they're very foolish and they would literally dash over the precipice and be killed if we did. And this is the way with men. They won't go back to God until they have no friends and they have lost everything. So if you are a wanderer, I tell you the good shepherd will bring you back the moment you have given up trying to save yourself and are willing to let him save you his own way. So friends, as we look into a new year, as we seek what the Lord might do in this new year, and don't forget that we're providing resources to help you follow him more faithfully in this new year. I want to mention this so that on the radio and online, you'll know that we'll make these resources available on our website as well. But we've got two great devotional books we would love you to check out. There's a resource table in the foyer when you leave today. One is called New Morning Mercies by Paul David Tripp. And one is called Live in Grace, Walk in Love by Bob Goff. We're also asking you and challenging you this year, let's read through the Bible together. And there's three different options. You can read through it chronologically. You can use the Discipleship Journal reading plan, which has different ways to read different sections of the Bible each day. Or you could use the 52-week Bible reading plan that gives you just a neat way to journey through the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, genre by genre. But whatever resource you're using, our prayer is that as you seek the Lord this new year, as you seek to grow closer to him, and you would pray that God would lead me to the people who I need to lead back to him, that this would be the best year of your life spiritually. So I want you to think for just a moment as we close. Think about all God has done in your life in 2019. Celebrate that. Look back and celebrate. But also take a moment to look ahead in anticipation, in expectation, knowing that God wants to do something amazing in 2020 in your life, in your marriage, with your children, with your grandchildren, in your workplace, in your classroom, wherever you find yourself. Would we celebrate and look with anticipation at the people we can love as we've been loved, at the people we can lead as we've been led by this good shepherd, as he calls us to shepherd those around us. So as we close this morning, I want to pray for you. And I want to offer this invitation. However the Lord is moving, however the Lord is speaking, I'll be standing down here as we stand and sing in just a moment. The altars are open if you want to come and pray and commit this new year, whatever God has in store for you, to him. But our prayer is that however God is speaking, that you would feel the freedom in this place, in this moment, in this decision time, to move as he leads, to respond as he leads, and to watch him do something amazing this new year in your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your love for us. That was proven when you sent your son Jesus to die on that cross. A death he did not deserve, to give us salvation and a hope that we do not deserve. But you love us, Lord, and that's evident. Even when we wander, even when we stray, even when we don't think you have our best interest at heart, you still love us. You lay your life on the line for us. You lead us to sustenance. You discipline us to make us better. You provide shelter and security for us. You are the good shepherd. And Father, my prayer is whoever we wrote down on that paper, whoever you've brought to our mind this morning, those you're calling us to shepherd, Father, that you'd give us the opportunities. You'd give us the words. You'd give us the boldness to love and lead those that you call us to shepherd. So, Father, this new year, we commit to you all that you have in store. We commit our hearts and our lives to you, our resources to you. Use us for your glory as we follow you. Father, move in this time as we respond now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing.